No. Start the show over again. We need a complete restart. Do you hear what he did?
Nope.
That's the regular music. That's not the Gavin Gansers game show music. Oh, my goodness.
What's strike that? Two.
It's been that kind of day around here, though. So we just have to ask for mercy on all of us. It's been a wild day around here, but it is time for the Catholic Answers Game Show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. I said the thing that I'm not supposed to say. Super special celebrity guest, Carla Broussard. What I meant to say was, hello, Carla Broussard.
Hey, Cy, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. It's great to be here.
Are you at all intimidated? There's a very scary-looking group out in the studio there. That is a scary-looking group. Is that some kind of football team or sports group or what is that?
A very handsome-looking group. That is beautiful group.
That is a very good-looking group. Carlos' family's here today. Everybody's here. Hello, all of you. Thank you for coming in. We have two... Let me just start with the game show. We have two contestants. They'll be playing for a fabulous room full of gifts and prizes. I'll go over the rules once we have met them. So let us start with contestant number one. Contestant number one, are you there with us? Do I have contestant number one? No? Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I do.
Joe?
Oh, hi, Joe. And where are you and what's interesting about you, Joe?
I live in New Jersey. I'm a proctor. You know, I give tests to people. the most interesting thing about me that a lot of people don't know is that back in 1998, I met Mother Angelica.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, we were on a pilgrimage. We have a large Filipino community in our parish, and they put together this... a pilgrimage. I went to Rome, throughout Italy. We also went to Lourdes, and on our final trip was to Garabandal, Spain, which it hasn't been approved by the church. But prior to 1998, the church decided that pilgrimage.
Was okay.
Pilgrims were allowed to go there.
Is that where you met Mother Angelica?
Yes. From my understanding, she had just recently had been healed because she used to wear the braces.
Yeah. I remember that.
She went there to give thanks to the Blessed Virgin Mary for healing her.
Oh, how beautiful.
And we actually met her. She was staying in a house there. And somebody had described the house to us where she was staying, and me and about four or five other people just started walking to see if we could find it. Sure enough, we came upon it. We knocked on the door. A young lady answered the door, and we asked her, you know, could we please meet Mother Angelica? First we asked if she was staying there, and she said yes. And she said she's been on a long journey. She's resting. She said, but I'll see what I can do.
Well, Joe, so what you really meant to say was that what's interesting about you is that you stalked Mother Angelica. That's the real story.
Yeah, that's what you want to call it.
All right, got to be contestant number two. Joe, thanks. Contestant number two, you there with us?
Yes, I am. This is Dan.
Hi, Dan. How are you? Where are you, and what's interesting about you?
Oh, I'm in the Richardson, Texas area. We're just north of Dallas, like 20, 30 minutes or so. And interesting, nothing. Sorry, I've got nothing. My wife and I, we went on a Catholic Answers cruise, 2013-ish time frame. And I met Tim Staples and his lovely wife and several of the other folks, Chris Check and so forth, and a lot of the other apologists.
Critical, but are you sure you want to take the approach of there's nothing interesting about me? I went on a Catholic Answers cruise. Like, that seems like what you're saying is that's not interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, Well, I had to come up with something. Joe met Mother Angelica. What am I supposed to
say? Well, you met Tim Sables. That's almost exactly the same. And Tim will tell you that, I think. That's almost exactly the same thing. All right. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do, gentlemen. Joe and Dan, we're delighted to have you here. I'm going to give the rules of the game show, and then we will start playing the game show. Lots of folks love to play along at home, so each question will be read twice. If you are playing along at home, now is the time to call the kids, wake Grandma and Grandpa up, gather around with the family at the kitchen table, sharpen those pencils, because it is just about time to start playing the Catholic Answers game show. Here are the rules. There are three rounds in the Catholic Answers game show. The first two rounds are six questions each, three to each contestant. In those rounds, all of the questions are multiple choice. When we get done with those two rounds, we add up the score, and the leader goes on to round three, which is final judgment. Is that clear to both of you, Joe and Dan?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. During rounds one and two, you will also have afterlife lines, and you are welcome to use your afterlife lines whenever you like. And the afterlife lines are this. You can ask our guest, Carlo Broussard, to eliminate one wrong answer. That will leave you with a 50-50 choice. And once you've used it, it's done, and it can't be saved for round three. Or you can also ask for the second afterlife line, which is just to have Carlo give you the correct answer. When you have used up your two life afterlife lines, they are gone. All clear?
Yes.
Yes, got it.
All right. One other thing that I did not mention, and that is when Carlo gives you the correct answer, he is required to give it to you in Pig Latin. Do either of you speak Pig Latin?
No, not really.
No. Okay, neither does Carlo.
Well, this ought to be interesting.
So this is going to be fun. All right. Also, Igpe Adenle.
Adenle, there you go.
All right, so one other thing I got to tell you before we start. Again, I will remind you, I'm going to read the questions twice and answer only after the second reading so that those playing at home will have time to mark their sheets. The only other rule you need to know is that after the two rounds, if there is a tie, contestant number one, who in this case is Joe, will pick box A or box B. We'll open it up and we'll see who goes on to the final judgment.
Si, I have to confess.
Yeah.
I am so grateful that you got new boxes.
For box A and box B?
Because those polka dot boxes were atrocious,
good.
Man.
Well, these are Society 315 boxes. These are
awesome, yes.
Like when you join Society 315, this actual box comes to your house with your T-shirt and your bumper sticker and all, and your car magnet. And you can join Society 315 by going to Catholic.com and typing in Society 315. All right, Joe, you're contestant number one. You ready for your first question?
Yes, I am.
All right. I'm going to read it twice, Joe. Question number one. In Luke's gospel, upon returning to Nazareth, Jesus reads in the synagogue from which prophet? A, Micah. B, Jeremiah. C, Isaiah. Once again, in Luke's gospel, upon returning to Nazareth, Jesus reads in the synagogue from which prophet? A, Micah. B, Jeremiah. C, Isaac. No, excuse me. Isaiah. I was supposed to say Isaiah there at the end. I said Isaac. I don't know why. Go ahead. You want me to read it again, Joe?
Okay.
How about this, Si? How about we actually read what the text says?
Okay.
And it might occur to him what the actual quote is.
Okay.
And he may be able to decide, because he might not know the citation. So here's what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Is that Micah, Jeremiah, or Isaiah?
Isaiah.
Yeah. There you go. Good job. Excellent.
Good job, Darren, on the sound effects, too.
All right. Fantastic, Joe.
You're one for one, Joe. Your first question, Dan. Let me get to it. Okay, question number one for Dan. According to the book of Hebrews, Jesus was a priest of the order of A, King David, B, Melchizedek, C, Moses and Aaron. Once again, Dan, according to the book of Hebrews, Jesus was a priest of the order of A, King David, B, Melchizedek, C, Moses and Aaron?
Well, yeah. See, I'm thinking it's either going to be Moses or Aaron or Melchizedek. I will go with... I can never remember. I'll go with Moses and Aaron. That's fine. It's probably I'll go with Melchizedek.
Oh,
fantastic.
Wait, that was so good. I was so scared for a second, and then you backtracked, and you nailed it with Melchizedek.
Amen to that. We'll let you go with that backtrack, definitely, Dan. Good job. Yeah, that's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 10. The author of Hebrews quoting Psalm 110 there in verse 6, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Then in verse 10, the author speaks of Jesus as being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And of course, Melchizedek is that figure, that character that we read about in Genesis chapter 14, to whom Abraham gives tithes, right? And Melchizedek blesses Abraham. So,
all right, it's we got to take a break, actually. So we'll come back for question number two, round one for our contestants. Joe from New Jersey, Dan from Texas, one of whom has met Mother Angelica, the other has met Tim Staples. Back with our guest, Carla Broussard, right after this.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Then there's a prayer that comes from fear. A lot of people are converted with this kind of prayer. You know the old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. Well, I hope that's true. It's amazing that sometimes the greatest conversions happen when somebody is so afraid, they suddenly reach out to God. Maybe their whole life they never reached out to God, and suddenly they cry, Lord, help me. Okay? Conversion.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Game Show, which we call the Catholic Answers Game Show. It's the best name. We couldn't come up with anything better. Darren got the music right that time. Also, Dan's friend, Mother Angelica, with a little quote there on conversion. That's very nice. That was Joe's friend. Dan's friend right. is Tim Staples. Beg your pardon. All right, here's your question number two. Joe, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get up. How many miracles of healing did Jesus perform? A, 7. B, 40. C, we don't know, but a whole lot. Once again, how many miracles of healing did Jesus perform? A, 7. B, 40. C, we don't know, but a whole lot.
I'm not too certain.
Remember, you got a lifeline.
You got a couple of after lifelines.
Right. I don't know if there is a number, because I think after he resurrected, I think he was appearing for 40 days afterwards, I believe, right?
Is correct, yes.
Wait,
are you going to fish around until we give you the answer? Is that what this is going to be? Because I don't think that's how this game works.
Yeah, and in the Gospel of John, he says, I'm paraphrasing, but that he performed other miracles.
So what are you going to go with? You're summing up the Gospel of John very well, but is it 740 or we don't know, but a whole lot?
I'm going to go with... C, we don't know, but a whole lot.
Very good.
Joe, excellent.
I was actually thinking, when I wrote the question, I was thinking of Matthew's gospel, where a lot of times people will say 37 miracles, but the truth is—
That is recorded.
Those are the ones that—
because in the Bible, right.
In Matthew's gospel, he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every infirmity among the people. I mean, you just get a sense of overwhelming numbers of healings from Jesus. So we don't know, but a whole lot. Good job. Dan, Mother Angelica would be proud, I'm sure. Here's your second question. Did I say Joe or Dan that time? That was good job, Joe. Here's this for Dan. Dan, Jesus was worshipped by the apostles, A, only after his death, B, during his earthly ministry, or C, not until after Pentecost. Once again, Dan, Jesus was worshipped by the apostles, A, only after his death, B, during his earthly ministry, or C, not until after Pentecost.
That's a tricky question. I'm going to use one of my lifelines.
Would you like the 50-50?
After lifeline, whatever you call
it. Yep, after lifeline. Yeah. You can do the 50-50, or you can have Carla just give you the answer.
I will need the answer on this one.
Good. Right, Carla,
it's
give
the
it
pig
to
Latin,
him.
Right?
Pig pay Latin, lay.
All right, here we go, Dan. Earing day is hay, orthlie, inistri me.
Do you want me to read them again, or do you have it?
Oh, there must be a problem with my phone. I didn't get any of that. It sounded like Pig Latin or something.
It is Pig Latin. He has to get. Did you miss the instructions?
Okay.
He has to give the answer in Pig Latin. So it's either only after his death, during his earthly ministry, or not until after Pentecost. Do you want Carla to do it again?
I will go with only after Pentecost. That's when the church started.
Oh,
Earing day
is during his earthly ministry. Yeah, so the apostles worshipped our Lord during his earthly ministry. One example of this is in Matthew chapter 14, verse 33. Remember when Peter walks on the water, when our Lord tells him to come and meet him, Peter walks on the water, he begins to sink, Jesus saves him. And when they get back in the boat, Matthew tells us, those in the boat worshipped him saying, truly you are the Son of God. The Greek word there for worshipped is proskuneo, which can mean to simply just bow down before in a sense of reverence. But it can also be used in the sense of worship, like worshiping God. And given the context that Jesus just performed a miracle, they're acknowledging him as the Son of God, and they're proskuneo here, right? It's seen as an act of worship of Jesus.
Okay, Dan?
Interesting, yeah. No, thanks. Appreciate that.
All right, here's your question number three, Joe. In the Gospels, we never see Jesus actually perform A, an exorcism, B, a baptism, C, any miracles other than feeding and healing. Once again, in the Gospels, we never see Jesus actually perform A, an exorcism, B, a baptism, C, any miracles other than feeding and healing.
That will be B, a baptism.
Good job.
Wow, no hesitation at all.
Yeah, that's very, very good. Yeah, John chapter 4, John tells us, now when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, and then you might think, oh, Jesus is baptizing, but here's John's commentary. Although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. So John tells us Jesus himself didn't baptize.
At least on that occasion. We don't know if he baptized the apostles or something
like that.
It just doesn't say.
Right. We don't have
but,
the evidence.
Yeah. Okay. So nice job, Dan. Very good. All right. This is our last question of round one. Then we'll add up the numbers before we head into round two. I keep calling Joe Dan, I think. I meant to say Joe, good job. Dan, I was just anticipating what a good job you're about to do on this question. Your question number three, round one, is during his earthly ministry, how many people do we know that Jesus raised from the dead? not including himself. So we're not talking about him raising himself from the dead. A, 7. B, only 1. C, 3. Once again, during his earthly ministry, how many people do we know that Jesus raised from the dead, not including himself? A, 7. B, only 1. C, 3.
Well, let me see if I can talk my way through this. Lazarus is one. He did a little girl, too. He raised her. I think he just healed Peter's mom. So I'm counting at least 2. I'll go with 3.
Yes.
You did
excellent.
Good.
Good job. Yeah. The only one you're missing there was the widow's son at Nain, recorded in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. But you got the other two right, Jairus' daughter and Lazarus. Good job.
And I realize I wrote let me give you the score right now. It's 2-1 in favor of Joe at the moment. There's still a full round of 3 questions each to go. That entire round, you'll have noticed, was questions about Jesus. Why, Cy? Why did you write an entire round of questions about Jesus? Well, I did want to take a moment to say I have a new book out called A Teacher of Strange Things, Who Jesus Was, What He Taught, and Why People Still Follow Him. Available now at shop.catholic.com, 25% off if you use the promo code TEACHME.
Cy.
Was that shameless?
That was amazing. You did a fantastic job plugging your book, brother. That was a great tee up.
Thank you very much.
It sounded like you've been doing this for like a long time and you know how to do it, man.
Yeah.
Well executed.
When it comes to my own book, when it comes to somebody else's, I might mess it up. But also, we love Jesus. That's part of the other reason why we did an entire segment on Jesus. All right. So we're on to round 2. So let's start with question 1 of round 2. This is for contestant 1. That would be Joe. I got to get the right page here. I'm lost. I'm sorry. I've gotten myself lost. And so I got to go back to the phone. Okay, here we go. Question number 1 of round 2. Where does ordinary time get its name? A, from being less important than the great feasts and seasons of the church. B, from the method of numbering its weeks using ordinal numbers. Or C, from the tradition that ordinations can take place during these periods, but not during the other seasons. Let me read that whole thing again. It's summertime. We're going to have weeks and weeks of ordinary time now. Where does ordinary time get its name? A, from being less important than the great feasts and seasons of the church. B, from the method of numbering its weeks using ordinal numbers. Or C, from the tradition that ordinations can take place during these periods, but not during other seasons.
All right, I like to use 50-50.
Okay. Carlo, eliminate 1.
All right, I'll eliminate A, from being less important than the great feasts and seasons of the church.
So do you want me to read what's left, Joe?
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay, so it's called ordinary time either B, from the method of numbering its weeks using ordinal numbers, or C, from the tradition that ordination can take place during these periods, but not during the other seasons.
And I'm going to say C.
Oh, it's B. It comes from the use of ordinal numbers.
Okay.
The weeks are identified or counted, right, with first, second, third, fourth, fifth week, sixth week, seventh week,
so you'll see in your missal, yeah, like 10th Sunday of ordinary time. So that 10th is an ordinal number.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so they represent position or rank in a sequential order rather than, you know, 1, 2, 3.
I was going to say that too.
Yeah.
They say always use the first thing that comes in your mind. Right?
Yeah. That my problem is a lot of times nothing comes into my mind and then I'm just stuck. But all right, let's go to the contestant number 2. That would be Dan. Here's your first question. Dan, who are the sons of thunder? A, Peter and Paul. B, James and John. C, Herod and Pilate. Once again, who are the sons of thunder? A, Peter and Paul. B, James and John. C, Herod and Pilate?
I was thinking hockey team guys, but I guess not. So I will use my final afterlife line. I guess the 50-50.
All right, which one are you going to take away, Carlo?
All right, I'm going to take away Peter and Paul.
Okay, so the Sons of Thunder are either B, James and John, or C, Herod and Pilate.
Well, I'm still not sure, but Thunder doesn't sound like a very complimentary name. I'm going to go with Herod and Pilate.
Oh, it's actually, James and John, two of the apostles. They're called in Mark chapter 3,
really?
Verse 17. Yeah, they are called the Sons of Thunder.
By whom?
By Jesus.
By Jesus himself. All right, we'll finish the explanation on that one when we come back on the other side. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're coming up on the end of round two. We'll see who goes on to their final judgment right after this on the Catholic Answers Live game show. Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kids' soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Monday on More to Life. Play nice.
Christians are meant to be more than nice. We're going to help you be the strong person you're called to be.
That's Monday on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live game show. We got two contestants, Joe and Dan. We're in the second round, but lots of questions to go. So if you're just joining us, you can play along. And if you have been playing along, I hope it has been going well. Lots of questions about Jesus in this episode. But when we left, the question was about Jesus naming James and John, two of the apostles, the Sons of Thunder. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so Mark tells us in Mark chapter 3, verse 17, that Jesus called them Sons of Thunder. Mark doesn't tell us why. We get a hint as to perhaps why Jesus would have given them such a label or such a nickname in Luke's gospel. In Luke chapter 9, verse 54, Luke is describing how Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem and he visits a village of the Samaritans, but they did not receive him. And so James and John respond and say, "Lord, do you want us to bid fire come down from heaven and consume them?" Right?
Right, yeah. And, that does sound like Sons of Thunder.
That's right. And so that gives us a hint as to perhaps why Jesus would give them such a nickname.
All right. So moving on to question number two of round two for each of our contestants. We go now to question number two for Joe. And your question number two is this. Joe, an annulment is A, a declaration by the church that no sacramental marriage took place. B, a declaration by the church that no civil or sacramental marriage took place. Or C, a declaration by a married couple that their marriage was defective. Once again, Joe, an annulment is A, a declaration by the church that no sacramental marriage took place. B, a declaration by the church that no civil or sacramental marriage took place. Or C, a declaration by a married couple that their marriage was defective.
I want to ask Carlo to use his pig Latin.
Oh, man, this is like the longest answer.
Thank you, Joe, thank you so much. As a matter of fact, just for making Carlo say that, I'd like to send you a copy of my book, A Teacher of Strange Things, Who Jesus Was, What He Taught, and Why People Still Follow Him, just because I'm so happy you gave Carlo a very long pig Latin answer.
All right, so like two of the three have the same words. Do I start from the very beginning?
Single word out, Carlo. Okay, right. No words left out.
All right, and so here we go. You ready? All right. Yep. Ae, eclaration de, ibe, hete, herche, hate, one, ivilse, roe, acramentalse, Arigeme.
Can I interrupt for a second?
What?
Are you sure you're giving the correct answer?
Ivilse? All right, let me try that again.
Let's start from the beginning.
I messed up.
I messed up. Well, I didn't mark the right question as the correct answer. So go ahead and read the correct answer now.
All right, here we go.
Sorry, Carlo.
Well, it depends on what you mean by this last word here. All right, so here we go. Ia, eclaration day. Ibe, ae, arigme, uplese, hate, herte, arigme, aswe, effective day.
I am so confused. Are you giving the right answer or the wrong answer now? What is the right answer? Just see, I think we're going to have to get, because I think I might have marked the wrong answer as correct.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You sent me these notes. You didn't give me the one you were thinking of. And so that's why I was going to the one I was
I'll tell you what, this is the worst thing that's ever happened on Catholic Answers. Point to the right answer so that I know. What? That word? I thought it was only the one above that. Am I wrong about that?
No. You can have a valid... You can have a valid marriage without a sacramental marriage.
Yeah, that's why I think it's and not the one. Of... Okay, we actually, Darren. All right. So first of all, I think we're gonna have to give you credit no matter what, because Carlo and I are speaking two different languages right now. But what do you think is the correct answer? Let's just go with that. Is an annulment a declaration by the church that no sacramental marriage took place, no civil or sacramental marriage took place, or a declaration by the couple that their marriage was defective?
Oh, I see this. See now, my brain totally freezed on C.
Oh, was it? So I wasn't wrong.
I didn't see married couple. I was thinking church. I saw church, and C I thought was church.
Okay, dude. I'm so glad. I thought that I messed you up, Carlo.
Okay, so this is a humiliating moment for me.
Oh, I feel terrible.
And
about
I'm
that.
Exercising the virtue of humility. My brain literally just was not working here. Okay.
Oh, that's so. That makes me feel.
All right. Okay. So here is the right answer.
In Egpe Adenle? Or just give it to him now, Carlo, all this.
Yes, so we're going to have to give you the right answer here. And the right answer is the declaration by the church that no sacramental marriage took place. Okay.
That
is true, right?
Yeah.
But the reason why I was confused was because I thought in B, you were trying to express that there is no marriage whatsoever. whatsoever. Oh my goodness, I'm totally messing up. Whatsoever. My kids are like in the room here, like laughing at me.
That makes it worse.
And so what I thought you were trying to say is making a distinction between a sacramental marriage and a non-sacramental valid marriage.
Because the Declaration
of Nullity says there's no marriage, period. Whether sacramental or non-sacramental. So that's why I got confused with the letter B. And then the letter C, I didn't even see you said by the married couple. Of course not. The couple can't just say, yeah, the marriage is done and over, and so we're going our separate ways.
So let me tell you what usually happens, Joe, is I send these questions to Carlo, and he corrects them when I make mistakes like this. But I didn't send it to him until the middle of the night last night. So poor Carlo. He didn't get to correct me, and I feel terrible about that. So I'm going to...
And this goes down as the most hilarious, humiliating moment. That was an alliteration right there. 2 inches
for you.
Well,
I'm
in
the
Catholic
one that wrote
Answers
them.
Games live history.
Dan, are you still alive?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go to
best show ever.
Oh, that was the well. It was just very confusing to me, but I was just because I didn't use very good wording on that, and I messed up, Carlo.
The answer was true, though. A was correct.
It was
right.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. All right.
Yeah.
I was just reading into it.
I have no idea what the score is, who the contestants are, or what we're doing right now. So I'm going to go to question number two for contestant number two. Which best describes the church Jesus founded? Dan? A, it is an invisible union of all those who follow Jesus. B, it is a communion of believers with a visible structure. Or C, it has no invisible features, but is a set of visible structures. Once again, which best describes the church that Jesus founded? A, it is an invisible union of all those who follow Jesus. B, it is a communion of believers with a visible structure. Or C, it has no visible features, but is a set of visible structures.
I'm going to go with B because it's a community, you know, a community of folks. So I'm going to go with B.
All right. That is correct. A communion of believers with a visible structure. Yeah. So that's very important because there's both features with the church, both invisible, and that's the union we have by grace in Christ, and a visible structure, namely the hierarchical structure of the church with bishops, priests, deacons, etc. You got the Pope who leads the entire church. And the paragraph 771 in the Catechism, pulling from Lumen Gentium from the Second Vatican Council in Section 8, articulates this teaching, talking about the church being a society structured with hierarchical organs and the mystical body of Christ. So you have the visible dimension and the invisible dimension.
Which is actually controversial among Christians because there's a lot of Christians who don't believe in the visible church.
That is correct. And that's why it is important that we affirm both aspects. And our conversations with our Protestant friends often go in the direction of us having to defend the visible structure of the church because many of our Protestant friends will deny that as an essential feature of the church as constituted by Christ in the first century.
All right, here's your question number three. Joe, this is your last question of rounds one and two. Whenever it becomes practically impossible for a married couple to live together, the church teaches, A, the couple can physically separate and choose to no longer be husband and wife. B, the couple can physically separate, although they remain husband and wife. Or C, they must stick it out regardless of the hardship. Once again, whenever it becomes practically impossible for a married couple to live together, the church teaches A, the couple can physically separate and choose to no longer be husband and wife. B, the couple can physically separate, although they remain husband and wife. Or C, they must stick it out regardless of the hardship.
All right, this is a hard question. let me think. I'm going to go with B.
Very good. Good job. Yeah, that's paragraph. Good job. That's paragraph 1649 in the Catechism where it's talking about there are some cases where it's practically impossible for a couple to remain together, living together under the same roof. And so at times there are circumstances where you know, they would be permitted to physically separate. But as the Catechism says, the spouses do not cease to be husband and wife before God, and so are not free to contract a new union, assuming that the union is valid. This is why, you know, Cy, Jesus teaches in Mark chapter 10, as well as Matthew chapter 19, if a man puts away his wife, marries another, he commits adultery, except for those cases wherein that first union was invalid and not lawful. And it's because, although they may physically separate and even get this piece of paper from the state that says you're divorced, right, in the eyes of God, they're still husband and wife. Now, this so that's paragraph 1649, and then the Catechism adds on some more commentary to this sort of situation in paragraph 2383, when it's talking about getting civil divorces in cases for legal matters, right? Whenever you do have to physically separate and reconciliation is impossible, and the church allows for civil divorce for certain legal issues, right? Although the separation of the spouses while maintaining the marriage bond can be legitimate in certain cases provided by canon law. So the separation can be legitimate, but you have to continue living according to the reality
that you're married.
That you're married. Amen.
All right. It sounded like you struggled a little bit with that one, but you came down on the right side. So this is the final question for Dan of round two. Which image does Jesus use for the church in Matthew 16, 18 through 19? A, a sheepfold. B, a kingdom. C, a body. Which image does Jesus use for the church in Matthew 16, 18 through 19? A, a sheepfold. B, a kingdom. C, a body.
That's a good question. Let me see. I think he uses maybe all three in different gospels. I'll go with kingdom. I'm not sure.
Good job. That's right. And what made you think of kingdom? Is there anything particular about Matthew 16, 18 through 19 that prompted your memory for a kingdom? Do you remember what does Jesus give? What does Jesus give Peter? Do you remember what does Jesus give Peter?
He gives Peter the keys to the kingdom.
There you go. That's right.
Prime minister role.
Amen, brother.
Ooh, good job.
Yeah. And that's right after Jesus says, "You are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. I give to you the keys of the kingdom." Right.
I'm going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll add up. We'll have the supercomputer add up all the score so far, and then we'll see who's going on to their final judgment.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He is honored by the church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Game Show. I'm Cy Kellett, your game show host. Our contestants are Joe in New Jersey and Dan in Texas. And what's the score, Supercomputer Marie? Who's the winner? Oh, very good sound effects, Carla. And Joe is the winner with five right. Congratulations, Joe. You're going to go on to your final judgment. Do you feel ready for final judgment?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Yes, that's how we all go to it. Thanks. All right. Yeah. Dan, I got to say thanks very, very much. I have to say you didn't play on the day where I did my best job ever. So I apologize for that. But you were a great contestant. Thanks, Dan.
Oh, thanks. No, this was a blast. The best part of the show was you and
Carlo.
And Carlo debating annulments. So that was great.
We weren't so much debating annulments as trying to figure out what we were talking about.
What we were trying to say, yeah.
But we do want to leave you with some gifts. Carlo is a very, very fine writer. So since you've been such a great sport, I'd love to give you all of Carlo's books. I'm going to tell you the names of them. I'm not going to do the subtitles right now because we're heading towards the end of the show.
Sure.
But we've got Prepare the Way. We've got Purgatory is for Real. And...
Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
I couldn't remember. I just drew a blank. Meeting the Protestant Challenge. And also, we're going to throw in, just in case you got a door you need to hold open or a window you got to hold up, A Teacher of Strange Things, my new book, Who Jesus Was, What He Taught, and Why People Still Follow Him. Thanks, Dan.
Okay, no. Thank you very much. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate you having
awesome,
me on
Dan.
The show.
God bless you, brother.
All right. God bless you. We have gone a little long now, Joe, so I'm going to go real quick through the rules of Final Judgment. It's 7 questions.
Okay.
Each question is a true or false, and you don't have any lifelines. You just got to tell us true or false. For each question, you'll be playing for a prize, and if you get all 7 correct, you get a bonus prize, which I will tell you about at the end if you get all 7 correct. So you ready for 7 true or false questions, Joe?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so the first question, you are playing for Carlo's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. True or false, Joe? Jesus is 2 people, 1 divine and 1 human. Once again, true or false, Joe? Jesus is 2 people, 1 divine and 1 human.
I believe it's true.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, Joe, because he is 1 person, but he has 2 natures, 1 divine nature, 1 human nature. So that's a little tricky. Go ahead. I know we're running out of time, so I won't talk too much.
Yeah, okay. But he's the only person with that situation, by the way. All right. True or false? Question number 2. This time you are playing for Carlo's book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. True or false, Joe? The Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are all equally God. Once again, true or false, Joe? The Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are all equally God.
Oh, boy. I know they are all distinct persons.
You got that right. Is each person God?
Oh, are they? But, well, yes. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. True.
Yes.
You got
excellent.
It.
Good there job, we... Joe.
All right. So you got Meeting the Protestant Challenge. Here's your third true or false question. You're playing for Pope Peter by our good friend Joe Heschmeyer, also our colleague now, works here. True or false, Joe? In God, there is no potential, only pure act. True or false, Joe? In God, there is no potential, only pure act.
I'll go out on them. I'll say false.
Oh, how about this one? Let's try this, Joe. God cannot change.
True or false?
True or false?
True?
That is correct.
Yeah.
All right. How about we give him that one,
Son? You're going to have to answer to Marie. She gets so mad when I do that.
Well, listen.
But,
I always get criticized for the highfalutin philosophical language.
That I did it this time.
And you did it this time.
Okay.
So we're going to give Joe a break here.
All right. So since he made the question lowfalutin, now you get you get Pope Peter by Joe Heschmeyer.
But
all
the
right.
substance was correct.
He
understood it.
Right. Now we're playing for Purgatory is for Real. Carlo's book, Purgatory is for Real. You definitely want to get this one. Question number 4.
Okay.
True or false, Joe? At the time of Jesus, all Jews accepted the Torah, the prophets, and the Psalms as scripture. Once again, true or false, at the time of Jesus, all Jews accepted the Torah, the prophets, and the Psalms as scripture.
True.
Yeah, that one's false. Ah. Yeah, we know that the Sadducees only accepted the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch.
That's why they're sad, you see. Nobody's going to laugh at that? I got a whole studio of people here. Nobody's... Okay, thanks. Carlo just looked sad for me when I said it. He's just like, poor Si.
Well, I use that all the time.
Oh, you do?
But you have to qualify because you've stolen it from somebody else. You didn't come up with that.
No, I definitely stole that. Yes, okay, sorry. All right, we're going on to question number five, so we don't have to talk about my violating one of the commandments. True or false? Oh, you got on question number five, you're playing for Always a Catholic by Father Sebastian Walsh. A wonderful book, wonderful priest. I hope you get it. True or false? All of the Pharisees rejected Jesus. True or false? All of the Pharisees rejected Jesus.
There's one that didn't for sure. In John 3:1, a man named Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? We're told he was a man of the Pharisees. He was a ruler of the Jews, and he accepted Jesus. He did not reject Jesus.
Okay, now you're playing for a book called Real Religion by Father Jeff Kirby, a wonderful priest and a wonderful book. And here's your true or false. True or false? Christians accept Moses as a true prophet of God. True or false? Christians accept Moses as a true prophet of God.
I don't remember them. I mean, the Bible referring to him as a prophet. I'm gonna say I'll say true anyway. True.
Yes.
What that seemed like, okay. I'm going to go completely against what I think because I got the last one wrong. That's what that seemed like, Joe.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice
you got
job.
It right, though.
Moses is a prophet.
And we accept it. Amen.
And Jesus accepted him. There Amen. He was at the Transfiguration.
Yeah, that's right. The law and the prophets witnessing to Christ.
All right. The last one, true or false. Now, I already gave you the book, A Teacher of Strange Things, and I can't remember why, because you did something awesome earlier. So that was going to be the prize for this. But instead, the prize for this one will be all the books that you didn't win so far. If you can get this one, you get all of the books you didn't win so far. True or false, the basics of the moral law are only known to humans because of God's revelation in the Bible. Once again, Joe, true or false, the basics of the moral law are only known to humans because of God's revelation in the Bible.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I win all the books, but true.
Oh, yeah, that one's false. So the Bible does teach us the basics of the moral law, Joe. But some of the things of the moral law we can know by reason alone. We don't need, like, for example, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Those are things that we don't need the Bible to tell us, although the Bible does tell us. And St. Paul actually teaches this in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. That's where he says, when the Gentiles who have not the law do by nature what the law requires— they are a law to themselves, even though they don't have the law. They show that what the law requires is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness and their conflicting thoughts accuse or perhaps excuse them. So St. Paul acknowledges that there are some things of the moral law that we can know by nature, right? By reason alone, even without God's divine supernatural revelation. So good try, Joe.
Joe, you did end up with a whole bunch of prizes, so let me tell you what you're taking home. You're taking home Meeting the Protestant Challenge from our guest today, Carlo Broussard. You're taking home Pope Peter from Joe Heschmeyer. You're taking home Real Religion from Father Jeff Kirby and my new book, A Teacher of Strange Things. And also, you've just been a great guest. It's been really fun having you on, Joe.
Well, thank you. I had fun. I had a good time.
You did?
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, even though we messed up one of your questions.
I watch you all the time.
Well, thanks.
That's okay.
Thanks, Joe. I hope we'll meet you someday. I'll let you know when I'm in Spain. You can stalk me through the country of Spain and find me somewhere. Carlo Broussard, thank you.
Kill it. Thank you, brother. It
was
fun.
It is so much. You are so good at this. I love doing the game show.
I love doing it with you, man. That's why we drove all the way from Murrieta with my family, just to be with you and the team here, man.
Thank you, all you Broussards. You did a great job. Thanks for hanging out. I guess that wraps it up for us today. If we don't see you between now and then, because I know many people will be on the road and on vacation, have a very blessed weekend, including Memorial Day here all around the United States. And we'll see you when you get back from wherever you're going this weekend, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.